So I call the meeting to order at 5:59. We're here for the auditor's BDO for the presentation of the 2023 audit. So I will open it up for you guys to, we don't have an agenda or anything, so open up for presentation.
Okay. Thanks. So my name is Will Zobel. I'm the partner with BDO. This is Aaron Kennard. He's the manager. And Kylie Hogg, who is the senior on the job, who did all the work. All right, so we'll start by, what I'll do is I'll go over the audit report, talk about some of the audit report and the wording, and then we'll do a high-level review of the financial statements. You've already had a chance to review the financial statements, so I'll go high-level, and then if there's any questions, then we can entertain those, and then the motion to approve the statements so that we can issue the statements today. Page one of the financial statements is management's responsibility for reporting, and Kelly will be signing that at the end of the meeting. Page two starts with the audit opinion. So the very first two paragraphs talk about our audit opinion. So the audit opinion is that the second paragraph, in our opinion, except for the effects of the matter described in the basis for qualified opinion section, the accompanying financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the village as at December 31st, 2023, and the results of its operations, change in its net financial debt, and its cash flows for the year then ended in accordance with Canadian Public Sector Accounting Standards. And we refer to that as PSAS. So if you hear us say PSAS, that's what we're talking about. The next paragraph is the qualified opinion. So effective January 1st, 2023, the village was required to adopt PS 3280 Asset Retirement Obligations, which required the recognition of legal obligations associated with the retirement of the TCA, Tangible Capital Assets, by public sector entities. The significant accounting policies describe the asset retirement obligation policy. As disclosed in Note 14, the village does not have the necessary information for us to obtain sufficient and appropriate audit evidence around the asset retirement obligation with respect to the lagoon. So this is only talking about the lagoon. You had hired an expert to deal with the buildings and whatnot, so those are fine. As a result, we were unable to determine whether any adjustments are required to the financial statements. So it's a qualified opinion for that one item. So just the lagoon.
Okay.
Any questions on the financial, on the audit report? The what?
The lagoon is a big question.
Yeah.
We just can't see. Like, there's no way we're ever going to replace it.
So it comes down to the requirements of the standard for the eventual. You know, if it has an indefinite life, then we can, listen to that. But usually lagoons, in our experience and your experience with talking to the expert from the city, was that a lagoon has a retirement obligation. So whether you close it today or 20 years from now or 30 years from now, 40, 50 years from now, there's still that obligation that needs to be calculated from the standards.
And this is a government.
Yeah. Okay, so the page four to the financial statements is the statement of financial position. This is your balance sheet. These are the assets and liabilities at the end of December 31st, 2023. So a couple of big things that happened in the year was the water upgrade project that there's a lot of variances in here that are hit by that project. So in 2022, you had other receivables that had a lot of funds in there that was related to the project. So that explains why your receivables dropped so much, because you received that cash. Deferred revenue dropped from 1.5 million down to 500,000 because you're recognizing that revenue, you're spending it on the project, and your long-term debt was incurred, 389,000 in financial statements, which was funds that were used for that capital project.
That would be your ACF.
The asset retirement obligation, so that's new. You're going to see that the 2022 column is restated, and the 2022 number 2.4 million and 2023 is 2.5 million. So every year there's something called an accretion expense, which recognizes time value of money. So every year that progresses, inflation and whatnot impact your calculation. So that number is generally going to change every year until you start actually incurring those costs to deal with those items that get caught under the standard. If you go to page 19 on the financial statements, there's a note, asset retirement obligation. This is dealing with the new standard, and this is a detailed note of what the standard is and the changes from 2022 to your prior statements, and what's been adjusted, and then what the restatement amounts are, and then those tie into the restated numbers that are in the financial statements. Tangible capital assets, that number is increased largely due to the water upgrade. And accumulated surplus, it's up $1 million, and we'll talk about that when we get to the statement that dissects the surplus. Any questions on the balance sheet? Okay, we'll jump to the next page. This is a statement of operations or your income statement. So, revenue in 2002, revenue was $900,000. 2023, you're sitting at $800,000, and total revenue in the budget is $700,000. So, this does not include government transfers for capital, which is at the bottom under other government transfers for capital. There was $1 million of revenue for capital projects, and again, this is the water upgrade. So where these big changes come in, there was a gain on disposal of a skidster. That's your $18,000. In 2022, there was a $200,000 insurance claim that was in your 2022 numbers, which is a reason why your 2022 numbers were so high. That didn't happen this year. And another big change that happened in 2023 is your general bank account balance was higher, and it was earning interest, so you were able to get higher investment income than in prior years. And in
2023.
Yeah, in 2023 compared to budget. So you had a good year for investment income.
Thanks, Kelly.
for expenses, so this year your expenses is $889,000. Last year you had $1.1 million, and your budget was $680,000. So some of the key points for your budget was in 2022 there was two CAOs that were here at the same time, and I believe that was training for Kelly. There was that overlap.
That was just when I very first started. I wasn't the CAO at that time. It was just two municipal
people. So wages were higher.
Wages were definitely higher.
In 2022. And then there were other expenses that were in 2022 that we didn't see in 2023. There was equipment rentals of $60,000, and I'm not sure what this is, Kelly. An MLA building project expense decreased by $50,000, so I don't know what that was.
That was the former CAO wanted to build another building from one that burned down from the fire, and there was no money to do so after he left, so we kiboshed that. But they had to reclaim the land, so it was about a $60,000 reclamation, so that something could eventually be built on there, but we just couldn't do it at that time. So, yeah.
And then if we jump to in the statement of operations, we do expenses by function, so different departments of the organization. If we jump to page 12, we can see the exact same numbers, but now we're doing it by object, so we can see it by salaries and whatnot. So you can see it's a different way to present the expenses. So you can see there, like, salaries and wages are down about $40,000, which is what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see that amortization of tangible capital assets, that amortization also includes ARO, right? Because there's an asset and a liability related to asset retirement obligations, which you can see in that note one that we referred to earlier. So you increase your asset cost and you increase your liability. The liability grows over time with accretion expense. The amortization, the capital asset will be amortized over time because it loses value over time. So there's kind of two moving parts to those numbers. Any questions on revenues or expenses? We'll jump to page 7. Page 7 is the cash flow statement. So this will give us a little bit more look at what exactly happened during the year. So we can see here that under capital, we've got $1.2 million of capital purchases during the year, largely due to the water upgrade. And then financing, we have the new debt of $395,000, of which almost $6,000 was paid off during the year. The next page is page 8 is the schedule of changes in accumulated surplus.
Can I just ask a question on this one?
Yes.
So if there's nothing in there, it wasn't restated, or?
They didn't have any debt in 2022.
Okay. There was no land held for resale, so I just.
Yeah, there was a change in the current year that year.
Okay.
But they didn't have any debt in 2022?
In 2022, there was no debt. That was new debt that was incurred in 2023.
So that was our debenture that we took out for the water project?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that wasn't, we didn't have that in 2022. So
that doesn't
why
obviously hard. Count the, like a
but I thought when
line
we,
of credit.
When we took over, we were in a deficit. So.
That's different.
Oh, okay.
So we have more cash in our bank account this year. That
page 8, did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Page 8, schedule of changes in accumulated surplus. So the bottom number on the balance sheet was $2.2 million. So that's the fourth column. So what this schedule does is it explains how you got from your prior year number of $1.3 million to $2.2 million. So your unrestricted surplus went from $15,000, and now there's $289,000. So an increase in your unrestricted surplus. Internally restricted surplus, so these are your reserves. So reserves are funds that the board...
I don't have that on my line. What page are you on, sorry?
Page 8. So in the second column are the internally restricted reserves. So those are reserves.
Sorry.
Reserves changed from $67,000 to $147,000, so increase in reserves. So you have deferred revenue and reserves. So deferred revenue is externally restricted funds, government transfers that are for a specific purpose in the future. The accounting standards changed a number of years ago that to defer revenue, government transfers, it has to have a stipulation that creates a liability. So now it's harder to defer. Sometimes you could have revenue just being recognized that you're sitting on that may not have met the standard to defer it. Whereas internally restricted surplus, which are you typically councils refer to that as reserves, that's internally restricted. So the board has restricted that for a specific purpose. So just because the board has restricted it for a specific purpose, the board can decide to use it in a different way than the benefit put it into a specific reserve. So again, internally restricted, the board decides.
Okay. And that number stayed the same for a few years, I believe, because I had questioned our former auditor, where is that money?
I can talk about how different ways that number can change after the financials are presented, if you'd like. The next column is equity and tangible capital assets. So your equity and tangible capital assets, big picture, is your cost of your capital assets less debt. So if you take the cost minus your amortization over the period, so your net book value, so you subtract off your debt that relates to capital assets and you subtract off your asset retirement obligation, you're going to get your equity in TCA. So all these transfers in between your unrestricted surplus and your equity in TCA are all the moving parts that change your equity in TCA. To reconcile your TCA equity in TCA to that formula. And if you turn to note 7 in the financial statements, you'll actually see that proof.
I remember when that came into being.
Gives me nightmares.
Yeah,
that was a big standard change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, almost as big as ARO.
Yeah. So. That one gives me nightmares, just saying.
That one gives a lot of nightmares. So again, it's good to see your accumulated surplus in total increase, right? So more funds for rainy day or specific purposes. Mm-hmm. So it's important to realize how much cash you have in the bank compared to your obligations of that cash. So deferred revenue is an obligation. Your payables are an obligation. Your debt is an obligation, but your debt is an obligation over time, whereas your internally restricted surplus, you know, that's an internal restriction, but if your unrestricted surplus ever goes into a deficit, in other words, you spent more money, then really you start spending your reserves without recognizing that you're spending your reserves. So, any questions on surplus? Maybe a little complicated. The rest of the financial statements add more detail, more information about everything we just talked about. The notes to the financial statements and significant accounting policies will talk about the policies that are in place that impact your financial statements.
You need some water.
And I don't think there's any. Yeah, everything else just pretty much is more information related to the numbers we've already talked about. More detail, accounting policies, disclosure that are required by public sector accounting standards. Any questions?
So, my own.
When you read it yourself, all of this, I was just getting totally confused.
Well, hopefully, I gave some. Hopefully, I gave a story to the numbers.
No, you gave me a thing that's saying a lot of this is just explaining a lot of the front instead of totally different.
I was just trying to. Where did you account for the, like, the capital cost for the backhoe and the dump truck and that? Like, what would that be under? Because on, like, for the debt, which was it? This one. Sorry. I should have made a note. So, like, on page four, like, you have the long-term debt, but we had last year, for 2022, we were still paying on...
lease payments.
So...
Oh, so lease payments are under the commitments note?
Oh, okay. I missed that one.
Note 13, yeah. And some of that, like there's the Ford credit leasing and the CNH capital leasing, some of that, one of those leases is treated as a capital lease,
yeah.
And that's sitting in payables.
That is sitting in payables, okay.
Yeah. It's not material, so it wasn't separated.
Okay.
So it's the amount's small.
Okay, perfect. So explain to me again, what's the difference between a qualified and not qualified? And
so an unqualified opinion is a clean opinion. That means that the financial statements present fairly in material respects the financial statements of the organization. So materiality is a function of how much revenue or expenses you have. Usually, sometimes it's based on other things, but we actually have a dual materiality in your statements because of ARO and TCA. Mm-hmm. So the materiality that we use on most of your numbers is 140? 115,000, which is what we base it on for your cash, receivables, payables, that kind of thing. When it comes to tangible capital assets and ARO, the risk of error can be quite high. It's a lot higher, and when you're only dealing with $115,000, that could be very easy to get to, especially with your lagoon, right? Because if you misstate your numbers too much, like if you start doing a sensitivity analysis, because lagoon is very estimate driven, right? So there's all estimates, and if you're off on your estimates, and we start doing what's called a sensitivity analysis. So we say, well, we use this percentage for your inflation and your discount rate. If we change it to this percentage, how much does that change your end number? And then when we look at that end number, if it's a huge swing compared to materiality, then we've got to do more work to narrow that down, or we've got to look at other options or whatnot. Mm-hmm. What's our materiality for...
Arrow is 115, and then there specifically is 4,900. So 40,900.
Oh, that's for. Oh, so 115 is the big one.
Is the arrow? Yeah.
Okay, so 115,000 is the big one. The for everything else, it's
40,900.
Which for your those numbers aren't big, and it's just because your village is, you know, the size it is, because it's a percentage of revenue. So when you're getting into a small entity like a village, when you're dealing with big numbers like asset retirement obligations, it becomes a bigger challenge to get to a clean opinion, right?
Well,
which is why
you hired a so-called expert. For something like a lagoon, it's still just a guesstimate. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of why I just don't agree with what they're doing. Nothing to do about it. The government thing.
Yeah, it's the public sector accounting standards. It's the rule book that we have to follow, right? So when we look at the audit opinion, that's where we're doing our work too. Like, this is what the requirements say, and this is what Alberta Municipal Affairs expects, and so that's what the Alberta Municipal Affairs wants to know is, you know, are these statements right? And if they're not right, what's wrong with them? And so that the audit report gives the opinion of what's wrong with them. So in your case, you have a qualified opinion, so everything's fine except for your ARO, which also impacts tangible capital assets because there's another side, and it impacts your ARO is a liability, right? We don't know if that ARO number, your obligation that is on your financial statements is right. We know there's been work done around it, but it's hard to audit by the way it was done.
So next year, or this, like for 25 or 4 or whatever, so if we had an expert come and give us the numbers of what they expect it to cost, when you do the sensitivity analysis, because I use the spreadsheet that Mark had made for all the villages to use, and he had his sensitivity analysis in there, what if the sensitivity analysis is outside of our materiality bounds? Is that still, even though it's an expert opinion, are we still going to get qualified on that?
What we would do is we would probably talk to the expert about is the assumptions that were used and get to the point where, where the assumptions are as good as they're going to get. We'd probably be fine. It's still a management estimate, and even with all estimates, actuals can vary from what actually happens, mm-hmm. because assumptions. I mean, in 2018, who could have guessed what was going to happen for COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And the inflation that's happened over the last 5 years, right? Yeah. So then things happen, and then you have to adjust your calculation. So, like these new standards, they're not going away. So, I understand your point about, you know, is it useful? Well, it is what it is. Accounting standards are only going to get more complicated. This next year, there's two new standards that are coming in, and we're going to have to talk to you about that because one of them is revenue. It's public sector 3400, and you're going to need to do an analysis of revenue recognition for the new standard. And that can be a good chunk of work too, and so that one's coming in for 2024, mm-hmm. and the other one that's coming in is public-private partnerships. So if you have any public-private partnerships that get caught, that can be a good amount of work too, because that can be complicated.
So if there's something with
It's when the government uses, I almost need the handbook to read you what gets caught, but it's essentially where the government uses a private company to help do certain things to make it happen. So it could be a road where maybe there's a toll. It could be like a dorm where the private company gets the revenues for a certain period. Like, there's just a variety of things it could be, and then if they get caught, then there's certain standards, things that you have to do, and disclosure, and a way to account for it. So, and there's going to be more of there's a new standard that's coming. I don't believe it's for this year. It's probably for maybe the year after. It's on how the financial statements are presented. So it could change the way the financial statements look. But,
come on.
Yep. So PFAS is complicated, it's just going to get more complicated.
I could get my head around tangible capital assets, not necessarily the formula, but I could get the rationale, but I don't understand this ARO part, like something like that when, yeah.
And it's because, again, you'd have to go into the ARO standard, but you know, there's got to be a legal obligation to deal with something, right? It's very clear on how it's written and what gets caught. So asbestos gets caught,
yeah.
Right? And there's other things that get caught too, but asbestos has been the main problem child, so to speak.
But to try to specify a best guess is weird to me. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, there's other ones too that I could talk to you about, estimates that a lot of municipalities have that create issues to sick time that accrues or vests is another one that creates a lot of problems.
Very happy about that.
I remember that conversation.
You're sick, you can be sick, you don't get to carry it over.
Sick time that accrues or vests, you actually need an actuary to calculate it because it's so complicated.
Oh, wow.
Which means that you have to, for one number on the financial statements, you go get an actuary to calculate it for you. And it's all estimates.
Wow.
I feel you. But again, our job is to audit your financial statements compared to the standards that is required, which are public sector accounting standards.
Okay.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions?
No.
Nope. I've talked to them a lot. Okay, so we have no questions. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I don't think so. We appreciate how responsive Kelly's been for getting us information. We know it took longer than anticipated. Which we've talked to Kelly.
Nobody appreciates more than we do.
Understandable. So we thank Kelly for being so responsive.
I'm sorry it was such a mess to start with. I'm hoping
you're not
it wasn't our fault.
Definitely passed the buck on that one.
Okay, I'm going to say something about that. So public sector accounting standards are complex. You need an accountant who specializes in public sector accounting standards to prepare the working papers somehow. Because when we do an audit, we need the audit to be ready to be audited. We're not doing corrections. We're not finding errors, because then that's when things blow up, right? Things take longer because now we have to try and say, hey, we found this error, you know, and then there's a lot of back and forth adjustments and all kinds of stuff. So when you hire, like in a village, it's a struggle because you need a CAO primarily to make the thing run, right? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the accounting side of it, you need somebody who can help you get the financial statements to the required state. So you could hire somebody, an accountant, mm-hmm. Accountants aren't cheap to hire one full-time or part-time. Right, and then you already have a CAO, and then you already have another admin person. So, mm-hmm. and public works. So, mm-hmm.
It's like we're going from one auditor that was hiding stuff and just not doing anything to, like, it seems like. Looking at it from what we've been used to, that you guys are finding stuff we didn't even know existed. You know, it's just there, which the bill is way over the budget, so we're like, what the heck are we? You know, the trouble is, the last council, I think, maybe intimidated the last auditors and getting away with stuff that has been hidden that you guys are finding. That's why we are pretty confused and anyway.
Okay. Is there any other questions? No. We'll adjourn the meeting and
accept them.
Approved.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry. Do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve the 2023 financial audit.
Okay, any discussion on that motion? All those in favor? And that is carried. Sorry, I almost forgot that part. Okay. Solid.
Good. Now we
adjourn. Okay, so is there anything else? Okay, I adjourn the meeting at 6:32.